This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wiggins America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like,
whatever, dude.
Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand.
You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
We have a pretty full show today. I'd be honest with you, because sometimes I open the show and tell you it's terrible. This one's pretty good. We've got Trisha, we've got Old Roy, we have AFP Missouri talking about school choice at the end of this hour. I am going to try to get a CF-related, cystic fibrosis-related guest in here, but we're real last minute, so I don't know whether that's going to happen in the second hour or not. I do feel like I should probably give a little bit of my story of why we're talking about cystic fibrosis. This May is Cystic Fibrosis Awareness Month, and I got to tell you, I'm not really sure. Like, first question would be, how do you make it a month? You know, do you just declare it enough that people go, oh, okay, I guess it is that, or do you have to have an official government document that says so? I really don't know. But May is Cystic Fibrosis Awareness Month. And they're having a great strides walk next weekend if you want to participate in that. It's in Fenton City Park. All the details at 971talk.com. But I'm naturally the voice for that this month for Conservatives Care. Just community projects that we do that we call Conservatives Care. And this one is that because I have cystic fibrosis. Now, if you don't know what that is, I guarantee that my coworkers have heard me cough randomly enough that they all probably know I have CF, but they don't want to ask me about it because it's, you know, it's real touchy. You know, you don't ask somebody about their diseases. I get it. But, you know, I guarantee everybody's looked it up. And so if you heard me talk about it before, you may have looked it up yourself. My story, basically, I don't want to start at birth, except that it kind of involves that. I was born in 1981. And if you recall, it was late 81. If you recall, there was a snowstorm in 82, like very, very beginning, I think January of 82. I don't remember that, because I was 2 months old. But I had, when I was born, I couldn't gain weight. And they couldn't figure out why, because the testing back then was very, very different. I think they still just did salt tests where they just make you sweat. And then they would literally just, you know, swipe your forehead and taste it to see if it was salty. That's how sophisticated it was in 1981. It's very, very different now. They do genetic testing. But back then, they didn't really know what was wrong with me. I don't know if they didn't do that test right or they just couldn't figure it out, but I couldn't gain weight. So after I was born, I was in the hospital for a long time where they were trying to figure that out. Well, then I got stuck in the hospital because of the snowstorm of 82. And I've heard stories about my dad walking miles to get to the hospital to just be with me. I don't really know much about that time because I don't remember it. But I do know that that is when they figured out that I had cystic fibrosis. And ever since that point, you know, all of my memories of childhood are basically normal, other than that I was told many times, like, look, you know, nicely, that you probably won't live long. And it's a weird thing to tell a kid. And I got to tell you, from my perspective, being told that I would not live very long, from very, very well-intentioned people, they weren't being mean. They were just sort of preparing me for this is what your life's going to look like. It was no big deal. You know, you tell kids this kind of stuff and you just go, oh, okay, well, that's just the way my life is. And I really did not care. It wasn't until I got into high school that I started, and I lived a pretty normal life. Like, I was fairly healthy and still am, all things considered. But I was told that you'll live to be maybe 40 years old at best. At the time, I think the life expectancy was in the late 20s. And some people would live until their late 30s. 40 was about it. So my parents assumed that, well, let's treat this kid with every treat we can find. You know, like, I did get some of the Make-A-Wish stuff. I never got a trip to Disney World. But there was a lot of stuff that was kind of handed to me, and special events, special treatment that I got because I had CF and I was expected to die. I don't know how that's affected my psyche. Maybe I'm very entitled now. I probably am, and I complain to God too much about things that aren't really that big of a deal. But it wasn't until high school that I thought, oh, this is pretty serious, because I had somebody else that I went to high school with. I didn't really know her, but she died while we were in high school, and she had CF. And I only remember walking past her once. She wasn't in school much because she was so sick. She was in the hospital a lot. But I walked past her once, and she looked at me as if she knew I also had CF. And I looked at her like, oh, you're the other person in our high school, because it was a big high school. And never said a word to her, but I just remember that glance, because it was like this look that she gave me that was both, hey, I know that you are experiencing this too, yet it was like there was a little bit of bitterness in it, because I was not in nearly as bad of health as she was. Excuse me. There it goes. And when you're 14 or 15 years old, you don't really know what to do with that. But that glance, it's never left me, because there was a lot in it. And she died shortly after. I think that was about a year later that I remember that she died. But, and again, never really saw her because she wasn't there much. And then my health started to deteriorate when I was in my mid-20s. So I got married when I was about 25. And it was within that first year of marriage that I was in bad shape. I was just sweating all the time because I was so sick. And then I got into a drug study. Here in St. Louis, we have a terrific Washington University School of Medicine, and I think SLU Hospital. We have some really, really good hospitals here that are, we don't talk about that stuff as much. But we do. We just have some like world-class medical care here. And thank God that I'm near a CF center, because people drive from all over the Midwest to come to St. Louis if you have CF for treatment, and sometimes just for regular checkups. And, you know, mine's like right here. It's like right up the road from where I'm standing. And so I have a pretty good relationship with all my CF doctors because of, you know, having seen them for many years now. Some have come and gone, but there's a lot of them that have remained. And I don't know that I got any sort of preferential treatment to get to that drug study. I really don't think I did, because I think legally they can't do that. But I was on the list, you know, as soon as possible, because they knew I qualified. Now with CF, there's different there's one gene that's affected, but you can have different mutations of that gene. So it's like the X5495 gene or whatever, but you can have different versions of what's mutated. So that's why you have all of the patients that have that mutated gene have cystic fibrosis, but there are different incarnations of it. There are different versions of cystic fibrosis depending on your mutation. Mine is a little bit milder. You have to have two different genes to have it, because if you have one, you just have a recessive gene there. If you have two, you have the disease. So I have one that is a bad version and one that's a very mild version. Ultimately, that means I have a milder version of cystic fibrosis. And so I got into this drug study when I was 25, 26 years old. Well, they're supposed to give you a double-blind study where you get either a placebo, 50% chance, or you get the drug, 50% chance, because it's a study. They need to have a control group. Well, I, on day one, knew that I had the drug. And I told my nurses that, and they're like, hey, you can't really tell us that. We're not supposed to know, but you know, it's all patient experience, so it's okay. So from that time, from the time I was 26, I've been on a medication for cystic fibrosis patients that at the time, even once they released it, was so groundbreaking that it only affected 5% of the CF population. So I was blessed not only to be in that 5%, but to get the drug, the medication that treats CF, so early in that process that I don't know that you could have gotten it earlier than I had it. Now they've expanded that to where I believe, and this is where I hope to have a guest that is more knowledgeable about these like broader issues, that medicine that I'm on now applies to about 75 to 80% of the CF population. And so there's been dramatic changes. You know, the life expectancy from when I was born and was expected to live to my late 20s. Well, here I am. I'm 42. And I don't think I'm going to die soon. I don't know if I'll live like into my 70s or 80s. I really don't. Things could take a turn at any time. I mean, God's in control. He'll decide. But it does look better. The outcome looks better for all of us. We jokingly talk about how we all gain weight much more because that was one of the problems. And it's a blessing. And it's also a curse because you were trained your whole life to eat really whatever you wanted to just pack on calories. Well, now you can't really do that. So you got to break a lot of bad habits, and mine have been tough to break, as probably anybody else's are. So there's a brief history of my own cystic fibrosis story. One more little thing before I go. I remember being, and I was 26 again when I got on that medicine. Right before that, I didn't know that this was coming along, you know, that you just hear things. I was getting so bad that I went to Chicago to film some sketch comedy with a sketch comedy troupe that I had been a part of in college and post-college. And I remember thinking, this might be the last time I get to do this because my health had been so bad that I couldn't really perform. I would have to like sit down between takes, and I was just sweating like crazy. And the sketch that I was doing, when I remember that, two of them, actually. One of them is called Matlock Apartment. If you type in Matlock Apartment, I think it's on Funny or Die still, from way back, you know, 2005, 6, something like that. The other one's called Kitchen Snakes. The premise of these sketches is so ridiculous, and I wrote these, which is why I was like, I have to be in these. Is the Matlock Apartment is just a group of people that get together, but they're in a new apartment, and the guy, he's like, yeah, I got a great deal on this apartment because it constantly plays the Matlock theme song. And it does. That's the whole sketch. They're just yelling benign conversation over the Matlock theme song. The second one, that one got a lot of attention. I think Will Ferrell ended up commenting on that or something at some point. I don't really know. I don't remember. But it got some attention. The other one was Kitchen Snakes. Premise, great. Execution, not as great. Where a manager is asking why the kitchen staff seems to not be producing as quickly as they should. The food is not coming out as fast as they should. And they're like, well, we think it's because there's about 2 feet worth of snakes in this kitchen. And the manager's like, you think the snakes are causing you to move slower? I mean, most of them aren't even poisonous. Only about 10% of them are poisonous. So that it's ridiculous because the whole sketch is done in a kitchen where we're standing knee deep in snakes. Great idea. Execution, again, I don't know. You can find those out there somewhere if you want to. Anyway, short break now. Like I said, we do have a full show. And we'll get to it now that we're done with that. This is Wiggins America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
It's good to know that your legislators are listening to you and feel your pain.
They feel your pain.
That was me doing somebody doing Bill Clinton, probably Dana Carvey. No idea. Wasn't very good. But it did come to mind. Legislation, if you're in Illinois, by the way, if you're in Missouri, you're fine. If you're in Illinois, they want to know that, I want you to know that they have your backs and they're just looking out for you. There's talk about banning natural gas in Illinois. A Democrat lawmaker has introduced legislation that would ban natural gas in new buildings. Which would then be, you know, they'd retrofit it to try to remove it from old buildings eventually, too, is the way that I understand this. What's the reason? Well, Selena Villanueva, Democrat of Chicago, surprisingly, says, we must reduce pollution in our buildings and we must begin a managed transition away from dirty, expensive gas to more affordable, clean energy solutions. The fact that she even mentions affordable in there is a little funny, unless you're the one paying the bill. This is amidst record high energy prices in the United States. Let's add more regulations to it and actually get rid of one of the choices that you have. And by the way, as far as I understand, I've talked to energy experts before on this show and in personal life. And natural gas, I think, is one of the cheaper versions of energy that you can get. So they want to eliminate, amidst your suffering from prices, they want to eliminate one of the main options you have. Let's say it's even one of the worst options. Let's say it's not cheaper. Let's say it is one of the more expensive options that you have. What happens to the cheaper version then? It goes up in price because there's more demand for it and there's less of it. It is astonishing to me that these people are our leaders and that they get voted for. Although maybe we're up against a wall now. Maybe that's going to change. I don't know. It's just incredible that they want to take away your choices on these things. And by the way, if you're interested to know, California already tried this. The first natural gas ban in the country was in California. So, of course, we're going to try it. And it was preempted by federal law. So you can't even really do it, although they're trying to go through the legal process. I don't know what year they did this, because apparently it's still being litigated because Palo Alto, California amended its building code and something. You know, of course they tried it, and it's facing all kinds of problems. Just wanted to let you know that they are looking out for you, and they will continue to. In Illinois, if you're in Missouri, it's a different case. Your politicians don't care nearly as much about you and your health, apparently, as they do in Illinois. Hey, stick around, because at the end of this hour, we're going to talk to a representative of AFP Missouri about some of those things going on in Missouri that, I don't know, maybe you will like this one. It has to do with school choice. There's been some changes to school choice in Missouri. You know, we've become so accustomed to bad service that when good service happens, it kind of stands out, right? You always think of fast food places. I always do anyway. And I have an example that is literally from McDonald's. So I drove through the other day, and the girl taking my order was normal. It was somewhere between I exist and I don't care about you. And I did not think anything of it at all. It wasn't until I got to the window where you pick up the food that the girl, I would guess she was late 20s or something like that. And she was smiling. So she wasn't just doing a good job. She was going above and beyond and acting like she cared about the job she was doing and was happy to be doing it. And with service industry jobs, that is so welcome. You know, I almost want a tip, but I was so caught off guard, I wasn't even ready to do that. She's like, here, I have a good day, you know, and just smiling, like making eye contact, for instance. It was incredible. And it reminded me of an old spiritual thing that I've heard people say before, that, you know, when Christ being the light of the world, and Christ being in you, for instance, that when the world gets darker, that the light that is in you is going to shine brighter, not because you're shining any differently than you ever have, but because the world has gotten darker, because your surroundings have gotten darker. That's a real deep way of talking about this McDonald's worker, but it was like that, because the standard has gotten so low that just getting through the line with decent food, like you get your order right, and you didn't take more than like 5 to 10 minutes, you know? I mean, I don't really know where that line is. If I'm waiting more than 5 minutes, I probably am looking at my watch like, all right, this is too much. But it got to the point where it was even higher than that. So it has gotten a little better, but somebody using that opportunity to really showcase what the job could be. And I don't even expect it. It's just nice. I'm just saying it's nice. And I also had that experience talking to Dollywood. So we're going with a big group of people over Memorial Day weekend to Dollywood and Pigeon Forge. And I had some like group ticket questions and things like that. So to actually get a response from a form email, and for the person to genuinely care. And I said, thank you at the end of the email, and just appreciate, you know, your willingness to communicate with me. And she was like, absolutely, no problem. Thank you for communicating with me. You know, I'm like, this is incredible. This kind of customer service doesn't exist anywhere anymore. But it made me realize that I think that it's like the more rural you get, the more possible that you're going to get good service. It's not a guarantee. Like, you can go to a Dairy Queen in the middle of nowhere, and those people are just rolling their eyes that you pulled up. I get it. But I think the percent chance that you're going to get good service is higher the more rural you get. Agree or disagree?
It's smooth sailing with the highly successful sound of wonderful.
Wiggins, America.
I'm going to give you a report later in this show about the freedom of press. I'll tell you one thing. The nice thing about being able to come on here and just share my opinion is that there is no filter before it goes to air. You know, when you talk on the radio, there's not somebody standing outside the booth going, or after the fact, for that matter, which would be kind of a silencing effect. But this report, which I'll I'll give you a little bit more later. There's not much to it. It just says that Free Press, a media group financed by liberal billionaire George Soros, is looking to incorporate global pressure to push big tech platforms to juice their censorship. And I'll give you a little bit more of that later in the show, time permitting. I'll try to make sure we get to that. But now, let's play this.
Oh, absolutely. I've been trying to get, you know, he's issuing it. I wonder whether or not he shows up because, you know, he also challenged me to golf. So I'm a very good golfer. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. He said, I'll give him 3 a side. But he knows he'll never play. This is sort of like that, I think. But I hope not because I really think he has to debate. He might as well get it over with. Probably should do it early so that he can, you know, he's not going to get any better.
That is Donald Trump talking about the debates, which will happen. I know there's been a lot of debate about the debates. Even this week, after the dates were announced, the dates of the debates were announced. This is really a good tongue twister. If I could monetize this, I would. But June 27th and September 10th are going to be the two debates. A lot of people speculating that they're going to see, they did this one early to see how Biden does, and if he doesn't do well, that they're going to try to replace him. There's always speculation like that in any election, but I get why there's more this year, because that guy is just a shell of a person. Sadly, you know, I mean, speaking not as president, it is sad to see somebody in the state that he's in. The fact that he's the leader of the so-called free world and trying to make sure that he is the leader of the not-so-free world is what is very, very upsetting, not just sad, about the state of affairs. So that's what Donald Trump said. What did Joe Biden have to say about this?
The reason to do this is simple. Electric charging stations have to be as easy to find as a gas station. And that's what this will be. You're not going to have to worry about it. You're taking off and you're not going to be able to make it all across the country in one without having to figure something else out.
Oh, I'm just kidding, of course. That is a real clip, though. And I think it was the same day the debates were announced. It might have been the day before, but Trump, I mean, just playing the clips back to back like this, it's not something that you're going to be surprised. Be like, really, that's the current president? Like, if you had just woken up from a coma and you had been asleep since 2019, my dear Lord, what you would have to catch up on. I think it's why we're all tired. Everybody's just like, can we go back to some state of normal? And Trump represents normal now? That's the world we live in. How weird is that? That Donald Trump, the apprentice guy, he's the let's go back to the normal president. It's pretty amazing. But this is actually what Joe Biden said, with a ton of jump cuts, don't get me wrong. So this was very rehearsed and lots of cuts in this, but this is what he said.
Donald Trump lost 2 debates to me in 2020. And since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
I've heard commentators on my side of the aisle making the case that this is not a slam dunk for Trump. And the reason for that is because of the environment that he's stepping in. He's stepping into Joe Biden's terms. CNN clearly is on the left. The anchors that are going to be, I think it's Dana Bash and Jake Tapper, and maybe I'm missing somebody else if there's another one, are going to be doing the moderating. They're not pro-Trump. They're definitely pro-Biden. Well, I would say more like they're pro-Democrat. They're definitely anti-Trump. Jake Tapper once in a while will ask a question that seems like a real journalist, so I give him credit for that. I don't know about Dana Bash, but it's CNN. This is the network that was giving the answers to Hillary Clinton in 2016. I mean, that's real. That's what he's stepping into. So I get that people are really concerned about the environment for this debate. Ultimately, though, Trump's going to win this thing, right? I mean, come on. Look at the candidates. You don't have to go too far in your brain. You don't have to make it into fairy tale land and picture the possible scenarios. Just picture what you think is going to happen here. Donald Trump is going to wipe the floor with Joe Biden. They're going to hop him up on whatever kind of drugs they put him on, just like they did before the State of the Union. And he'll come across better than he does at these random campaign stops that he's doing in Wisconsin right now. And these, you know, that gibberish that I played a second ago, he'll do better than that. And he may still get lost at times, but he'll still come across okay. Like, this will be the best version of the guy that they could possibly muster. So I don't think that it's going to be the knockout punch that everybody's hoping that it'll be for Trump on the right. But I do think that Trump is clearly still the front runner to win the debate, and not just because of that, but win the election. I don't know. What do you think? Let me know at Radio Wiggins on Twitter. I'd love to hear a little bit of feedback on this. If you are worried about them stacking the deck against him, obviously not just in the debate, but in the election overall, that's stuff that we're all concerned about. Even the rules, though, before we get to the end of the segment here, the rules that Joe Biden set for Donald Trump that Trump agreed to, I think they even those benefit Trump. The muting of the mics when you're not answering the question. You know, he comes across as kind of a bully's not the right word, just brash and loud, because he is brash and loud. He comes across that way in these debates because he kind of can't control himself. There is no crowd, and Trump tends to feed off of a crowd. So people are saying that's a negative for him, but I don't even think that's true. It'll be a little bit more subdued. And when you get more subdued Trump in this environment, he can talk about policy, and his best course of action is just to compare the last 4 years in detail to his 4 years and say which one was better. That's what he just has to do over and over and over. A question about really any topic, he could do that and say, look, we're winning. And on things like abortion, he can say, I also am your champion on that. He's been kind of soft on it ever since Roe v. Wade, but he could, and he should. And I think he's going to win that debate. We'll be right back. 97.1 FM Talk. This is Wiggins America. Looking forward to talking to the state director for AFP Missouri. Jeremy, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so I've been following this topic intensely, but more from a national perspective of what's happening here and there. And now here it is right on our doorstep. We're talking about school choice. The headline is that Governor Parson has signed SB 727, which expands school choice. So, Jeremy, I'm hoping you can give us a little bit of a where has it been, where is it now, where is it going type of scenario.
No, absolutely. So as far as school choice is concerned, back in 2021, we had a bill passed that created education savings accounts in the state of Missouri. So basically what occurs is if there's a couple of nonprofits around the state that provide scholarships to families and students to attend either a private school. They can attend like a hybrid school or even some of them can even homeschool. And if a donor donates to one of those nonprofits, they get a tax credit so they can deduct their taxes next year. So if you donate this year, you can deduct some of that portion of that on your taxes next year. And so you make a donation to one of these nonprofits. The nonprofit gives a scholarship to some of these children. Then the children can go to the school that they want to.
And that's all privately funded, right?
That's all privately funded. So now the donor gets a little bit of that tax credit. So they get that reduction in their taxes the following year, but it's all privately funded. So no actual government funds are going anywhere. Now there was a lot of restrictions. So there's restrictions on, there's a prioritization. So basically, if you and your family are, or if your children are on free and reduced lunches, for example, you've got top priority. If you're on an IEP, if your child is on an IEP, you have secondary priority. And so that's an individualized education plan. So if there's something special that you need as far as your education.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
You know, we've become so accustomed to bad service that when good service happens, it kind of stands out, right? You always think of fast food places. I always do anyway. And I have an example that is literally from McDonald's. So I drove through the other day and the girl taking my order was normal. It was somewhere between I exist and I don't care about you. And I did not think anything of it at all. It wasn't until I got to the window where you pick up the food that the girl, I would guess she was late 20s or something like that. And she was smiling. So she wasn't just doing a good job. She was going above and beyond and acting like she cared about the job she was doing and was happy to be doing it. And with service industry jobs, that is so welcome. You know, I almost want a tip, but I was so caught off guard, I wasn't even ready to do that. She's like, here, I... have a good day, you know, it's just smiling, like making eye contact, for instance. It was incredible. And it reminded me of an old spiritual thing that I've heard people say before that, you know, when Christ being the light of the world, and Christ being in you, for instance, that when the world gets darker, that the light that is in you is going to shine brighter, not because you're shining any differently than you ever have, but because the world has gotten darker, because your surroundings have gotten darker. I mean, that's a real deep way of talking about this McDonald's worker, but it was like that because the standard has gotten so low that just getting through the line with decent food, like you get your order right and you didn't take more than like 5 to 10 minutes, you know? I mean, I don't really know where that line is. If I'm waiting more than 5 minutes, I probably am looking at my watch like, all right, this is too much. But it got to the point where it was even higher than that. So it has gotten a little better, but somebody using that opportunity to really showcase what the job could be, and I don't even expect it. It's just nice. I'm just saying it's nice. And I also had that experience talking to Dollywood. So we're going with a big group of people over Memorial Day weekend to Dollywood and Pigeon Forge. And I had some like group ticket questions and things like that. So to actually get a response from a form email and for the person to genuinely care. And I said, thank you at the end of the email and just appreciate, you know, your willingness to communicate with me. And she was like, absolutely no problem. Thank you for communicating with me. You know, I'm like, this is incredible. This kind of customer service doesn't exist anywhere anymore. But it made me realize that I think that it's like the more rural you get, the more possible that you're going to get good service. It's not a guarantee. Like, you can go to a Dairy Queen in the middle of nowhere, and those people are just rolling their eyes that you pulled up. I get it. But I think the percent chance that you're going to get good service is higher the more rural you get. Agree or disagree?
It's smooth sailing with the highly successful sound of wonderful
Wiggins, America.
I'm going to give you a report later in this show about the freedom of press. I'll tell you one thing. The nice thing about being able to come on here and just share my opinion is that there is no filter before it goes to air. You know, when you talk on the radio, there's not somebody standing outside the booth going, or after the fact, for that matter, which would be kind of a silencing effect. But this report, which I'll give you a little bit more later. There's not much to it. It just says that Free Press, a media group financed by liberal billionaire George Soros, is looking to incorporate global pressure to push big tech platforms to juice their censorship. And I'll give you a little bit more of that later in the show, time permitting. I'll try to make sure we get to that. But now, let's play this.
Oh, absolutely. I've been trying to get, you know, he's issuing it. I wonder whether or not he shows up because, you know, he also challenged me to golf. So I'm a very good golfer. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. He said, I'll give him 3 a side. But he knows he'll never play. This is sort of like that, I think. But I hope not, because I really think he has to debate. He might as well get it over with. Probably should do it early so that he can, you know, he's not going to get any better.
That is Donald Trump talking about the debates, which will happen. I know there's been a lot of debate about the debates. Even this week, after the dates were announced, the dates of the debates were announced. This is really a good tongue twister. If I could monetize this, I would. But June 27th and September 10th are going to be the two debates. A lot of people speculating that they're going to see, they did this one early to see how Biden does, and if he doesn't do well, that they're going to try to replace him. There's always speculation like that in any election. But I get why there's more this year, because that guy is just a shell of a person. Sadly, you know, I mean, speaking not as president, it is sad to see somebody in the state that he's in. The fact that he's the leader of the so-called free world and trying to make sure that he is the leader of the not-so-free world is what is very, very upsetting, not just sad, about the state of affairs. So that's what Donald Trump said. What did Joe Biden have to say about this?
The reason to do this is simple. Electric charging stations have to be as easy to find as a gas station. And that's what this will be. You're not going to have to worry about it. You're taking off and you're not going to be able to make it all across the country in one without having to figure something else out.
Oh, I'm just kidding, of course. That is a real clip, though. And I think it was the same day the debates were announced. It might have been the day before. But Trump, I mean, just playing the clips back to back like this, it's not something that you're going to be surprised. Be like, really? That's the current president? Like, if you had just woken up from a coma and you had been asleep since 2019, my dear Lord, what you would have to catch up on. I think it's why we're all tired. Everybody's just like, can we go back to some state of normal? And Trump represents normal now? That's the world we live in. How weird is that? That Donald Trump, the apprentice guy, he's the let's go back to the normal president. It's pretty amazing. But this is actually what Joe Biden said with a ton of jump cuts. Don't get me wrong. So this was very rehearsed and lots of cuts in this. But this is what he said.
Donald Trump lost 2 debates to me in 2020. And since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
I've heard commentators on my side of the aisle making the case that this is not a slam dunk for Trump. And the reason for that is because of the environment that he's stepping in. He's stepping into Joe Biden's terms. CNN clearly is on the left. The anchors that are going to be, I think it's Dana Bash and Jake Tapper, and maybe I'm missing somebody else if there's another one, are going to be doing the moderating. They're not pro-Trump. They're definitely pro-Biden. Well, I would say more like they're pro-Democrat. They're definitely anti-Trump. Jake Tapper once in a while will ask a question that seems like a real journalist, so I give him credit for that. I don't know about Dana Bash, but it's CNN. This is the network that was giving the answers to Hillary Clinton in 2016. I mean, that's real. That's what he's stepping into. So I get that people are really concerned about the environment for this debate. Ultimately, though, Trump's going to win this thing, right? I mean, come on. Look at the candidates. You don't have to go too far in your brain. You don't have to make it into fairy tale land and picture the possible scenarios. Just picture what you think is going to happen here. Donald Trump is going to wipe the floor with Joe Biden. They're going to hop him up on whatever kind of drugs they put him on, just like they did before the State of the Union. And he'll come across better than he does at these random campaign stops that he's doing in Wisconsin right now. And these, you know, that gibberish that I played a second ago, he'll do better than that. And he may still get lost at times, but he'll still come across okay. Like, this will be the best version of the guy that they could possibly muster. So I don't think that it's going to be the knockout punch that everybody's hoping that it'll be for Trump on the right. But I do think that Trump is clearly still the front runner to win the debate, and not just because of that, but win the election. I don't know. What do you think? Let me know at Radio Wiggins on Twitter. I'd love to hear a little bit of feedback on this. If you are worried about them stacking the deck against him, obviously not just in the debate, but in the election overall, that's stuff that we're all concerned about. Even the rules, though, before we get to the end of the segment here, the rules that Joe Biden set for Donald Trump that Trump agreed to, I think they even those benefit Trump. The muting of the mics when you're not answering the question. You know, he comes across as kind of a bully's not the right word, just brash and loud, because he is brash and loud. He comes across that way in these debates because he kind of can't control himself. There is no crowd, and Trump tends to feed off of a crowd. So people are saying that's a negative for him, but I don't even think that's true. It'll be a little bit more subdued. And when you get more subdued Trump in this environment, he can talk about policy. And his best course of action is just to compare the last 4 years in detail to his 4 years and say which one was better. That's what he just has to do over and over and over. A question about really any topic, he could do that and say, look, we're winning. And on things like abortion, he can say, I also am your champion on that. He's been kind of soft on it ever since Roe v. Wade. But he could, and he should. And I think he's going to win that debate. We'll be right back. 97.1 FM Talk. This is Wiggins America. Looking forward to talking to the state director for AFP Missouri. Jeremy, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so I've been following this topic intensely, but more from a national perspective of what's happening here and there. And now here it is right on our doorstep. We're talking about school choice. The headline is that Governor Parson has signed SB 727, which expands school choice. So, Jeremy, I'm hoping you can give us a little bit of a where has it been, where is it now, where's it going type of scenario.
No, absolutely. So as far as school choice is concerned, back in 2021, we had a bill pass that created education savings accounts in the state of Missouri. So basically what occurs is if there's a couple of nonprofits around the state that provide scholarships to families and students to attend either a private school, they can attend like a hybrid school, or even some of them can even homeschool. And if a donor donates to one of those nonprofits, they get a tax credit, so they can deduct their taxes next year. So if you donate this year, you can deduct some of that portion of that on your taxes next year. And so you make a donation to one of these nonprofits. The nonprofit gives a scholarship to some of these children. Then the children can go to the school that they want to.
And that's all privately funded, right?
That's all privately funded. So now the donor gets a little bit of that tax credit, so they get that reduction in their taxes the following year, but it's all privately funded, so no actual government funds are going anywhere. Now, there was a lot of restrictions. So there's restrictions on there's a prioritization. So basically, if you and your family are, or if your children are on free and reduced lunches, for example, you've got top priority. If you're on an IEP, if your child is on an IEP, you have secondary priority. And so that's an individualized education plan. So if there's something special that you need as far as your education and help with, then those children are a higher priority than others. I think military families are a higher priority than some of the others. So there's a priority list there. But basically, there was also a geographical requirement. So you had to be in a city with a population of 30 or more. I'm just outside of Jefferson City. I'm about 300 feet away from being able to participate as far as the geographical requirements are concerned. And so what Senate Bill 727 basically did was it said more people can donate more money now. So from $50 million to $75 million. So more donors can participate. And then also that geographical requirement is now gone. So regardless of where you live in the state, if you meet all the other requirements, you can now participate.
So
and that's now signed into law. And on August 28th, that should be available to every family in the state of Missouri that that meets all the other requirements.
These are very incremental steps is what it seems like, because there's kind of the big picture with school choice. And Missouri is being, it seems to me anyway, being very cautious, but they're moving in that direction.
Very true. And I would say, you know, universal choice, that's what we've seen in Florida and Arkansas and Iowa, Oklahoma, what we've seen in a bunch of the states around us. Universal choice is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. And so you're correct that what we're seeing right now is incremental. We're basically taking a step at a time. But I think as time goes on, we're going to have more supporters, more families. You know, I think over 60% of Missouri families actually support the education savings accounts. And so it's got a lot of support, and it's bipartisan support. So it's not just Republican versus Democrat. It's got a lot of support across the state. And the idea is, how are we using your tax dollars to best educate our children? And so, you know, we had a bunch of bills filed this year. We had bills filed by Representative Doug Ritchie and Senators Andrew Koenig and Senator Rick Bratton out of the Kansas City area. So Andrew Koenig's there in St. Louis County. And they all filed bills that actually would open it up entirely. So for instance, Representative Doug Ritchie out of the Kansas City area also had House Bill 1911. That was the one that was really talked about a lot in the press at the very beginning of session. And that allows you to anyone to pay for whatever education that they want for their child, and then they themselves would directly get a tax credit that offsets that education entirely. And so that's kind of the direction that we're looking at heading.
So you're still talking about then private funding, because even if it's your own kids, you're still funding it. You're just getting a tax credit in return. But
correct.
But now let's define it, though. When you say universal school choice, what I've seen from voucher programs is a little bit different than that, where they put the money that was going toward the school district in kind of a fund for everybody. And then you, when you put your kids in that school, that money goes toward your kids. So that seems a little bit different than a tax credit, right?
Well, that does definitely take several different forms. And so in other states, they have used education savings accounts. And that's where the state basically says, all right, so there's every child in the state now has an account. We're going to put the public funding into that account, and then that child, then that family can use those funds however they see fit. Yes. And that is an option. That is an option moving forward that we can do as well. But we have seen in other states where, I think in Florida, whenever they implemented it about a year ago, there was they had difficulty keeping up with the families that wanted to participate. There was so many families that wanted to participate that some of the vendors and other third parties that they used to implement these had difficulty keeping up with that and actually processing it and make sure all the children were able to participate. And so whenever we're looking at issues like that, because, you know, a lot of these things are new. And so, you know, there's a lot of testing and a lot of trial and error. And so whenever we're looking at things like that, you know, Oklahoma just recently did very similar to what I had just mentioned, like allowing families to get a full tax credit directly from the state to offset their taxes for that. And what that does, though, in the state of Missouri, instead of relying on a third party vendor to do some of these accounts in the background, that we already have the Department of Revenue. And everyone already files their taxes each and every year. And all you have is one more line on your tax form that says, you know, was your child in a public school? Yes or no? If it was no, how much did you spend on education? You put in the amount. And then, you know, there will be a formula in there that says, hey, you know, based off of generally the state adequacy target, that's what the state funds public schools now per child. And then basically says, all right, well, if you spent this much, this is how much you're eligible for. And this is what you get reduced from your taxes. And so then that way we're not relying on other individuals, other companies, anyone else, the other state agencies to actually get it accomplished. It allows us to actually use a system that's already available. And we know that works. The government's really good at collecting your money. And so just making sure that, you know, it's another method of kind of accomplishing the same idea and ensuring that every child still gets the education that best fits their needs. And at the same time, making sure that the system is working. And so we're not hitting some of those hiccups. One of the other bonuses that I really like with ideas like that is whenever you look at some of the tax credit items, you as the family and parent are making those decisions. You're choosing where to send them to school. You're choosing what type of curriculum. If you're homeschooling, you're going through all of those methods. And by doing it that in that type of form, you have a lot less of the strings, the government strings, the requirements that often come with them. So if you look at the current scholarship program that we have right now, the ESA program that we have, there is a requirement that you get the annualized testing. Whenever you submit your application with one of the nonprofits, you know, you have to tell them this is the type of curriculum and everything else I'm going to have and whatnot. There was the requirement for background checks for the homeschoolers, but that's been removed in 727, so that's another bonus. So they won't have to go through a background check to participate any longer. But at the same time, there's generally fewer strings involved with government. And that's the kind of the idea is how do we create more competition, get government out of the way, and allow families to pick and choose the best education for their kids.
Jeremy, we're almost out of time here, but anybody who's listening right now, maybe they just tuned in at the end, or maybe they missed what we were talking about in general. We're talking about school choice. Governor Parson has signed SB 727, expanding school choice. What is the big takeaway that you want a parent listening, right, or grandparent for that matter, that says, I hear about this, but how does it impact me? What is one big takeaway that they should know that has moved in the direction of school choice now that would apply to them?
Well, the way that it applies now, especially with removing the geographical boundaries and barriers that families were facing before, the way that it applies now is if you feel that the current education system that your child or the current education that your child is receiving, especially in public school system, is not where it needs to be, but you unfortunately, due to your circumstances, couldn't afford to put them into a private school or pull them out and homeschool them, there are now more options available to you. Does that mean that there's options available for everyone now? No, but there are more options now for more families, more parents, and those are available now. So if it's one of those things where you've been thinking about doing something else with your child, you think there's a better alternative, there are more options for you as a family to seek out that alternative now.
Jeremy Cady, thank you so much for your time, State Director, AFP Missouri. So if somebody wants to connect with you, they've heard this, and they have more questions about this, or really, I mean, you guys are involved in many other issues, but if they have questions about school choice and they want to contact you, where would you suggest they do that?
So our website is AmericansForProsperity.org, but you can also find us at AFP Missouri on Twitter and Facebook, and we have folks that man those social media accounts and can answer your questions, take calls, take any of those questions, make those answers. And we would love to even come out. And if you've got a group of folks that need more of an explainer as well, we will come out to you and walk you through the process and what next steps are as well.
Americans for Prosperity, Missouri. Jeremy, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
This is hour one of Wiggins America, which means that we still have another hour ahead. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
97.1 FM Talk. This is Wiggins America. Looking forward to talking to the state director for AFP Missouri. Jeremy, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so I've been following this topic intensely, but more from a national perspective of what's happening here and there. And now here it is right on our doorstep. We're talking about school choice. The headline is that Governor Parson has signed SB 727, which expands school choice. So, Jeremy, I'm hoping you can give us a little bit of a where has it been, where is it now, where is it going type of scenario.
No, absolutely. So as far as school choice is concerned, back in 2021, we had a bill pass that created education savings accounts in the state of Missouri. So basically what occurs is if there's a couple of nonprofits around the state that provide scholarships to families and students to attend either a private school, they can attend like a hybrid school or even some of them can even homeschool. And if a donor donates to one of those nonprofits, they get a tax credit so they can deduct their taxes next year. So if you donate this year, you can deduct some of that portion of that on your taxes next year. And so you make a donation to one of these nonprofits, the nonprofit gives a scholarship to some of these children, then the children can go to the school that they want to.
And that's all privately funded, right?
That's all privately funded. Yeah. So now the donor gets a little bit of that tax credit, so they get that reduction in their taxes the following year, but it's all privately funded, so no actual government funds are going to anywhere. Now, there was a lot of restrictions. So there's restrictions on there's a prioritization. So basically, if you and your family if your children are on free and reduced lunches, for example, you've got top priority. If you're on an IEP, if your child is on an IEP, you have secondary priority. And so that's an individualized education plan. So if there's something special that you need as far as your education and help with, then those children are a higher priority than others. I think military families are a higher priority than some of the others. So there's a priority list there. But basically, there was also a geographical requirement. So you had to be in a city with a population of 30 or more. I'm just outside of Jefferson City. I'm about 300 feet away from being able to participate as far as the geographical requirements are concerned. And so what Senate Bill 727 basically did was it said more people can donate more money now. So from $50 million to $75 million. So more donors can participate. And then also that geographical requirement is now gone. So regardless of where you live in the state, if you meet all the other requirements, you can now participate.
So
and that's now signed into law, and on August 28th, that should be available to every family in the state of Missouri that meets all the other requirements.
These are very incremental steps, is what it seems like, because there's kind of the big picture with school choice, and Missouri is being, it seems to me anyway, being very cautious, but they're moving in that direction.
Very true. And I would say, universal choice, that's what we've seen in Florida and Arkansas and Iowa, Oklahoma, what we've seen in a bunch of the states around us. Universal choice is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. And so you're correct that what we're seeing right now is incremental. We're basically taking a step at a time. But I think as time goes on, we're going to have more supporters, more families. I think over 60% of Missouri families actually support the education savings accounts. And so it's got a lot of support, and it's bipartisan support. So it's not just Republican versus Democrat. It's got a lot of support across the state. And the idea is, how are we using your tax dollars to best educate our children? And so, we had a bunch of bills filed this year. We had bills filed by Representative Doug Ritchie and Senators Andrew Koenig and Senator Rick Bratton out of the Kansas City area. So Andrew Koenig's there in St. Louis County. And they all filed bills that actually would open it up entirely. So for instance, Representative Doug Ritchie out of the Kansas City area also had House Bill 1911. That was the one that was really talked about a lot in the press at the very beginning of session. And that allows anyone to pay for whatever education that they want for their child, and then they themselves would directly get a tax credit that offsets that education entirely. And so that's kind of the direction that we're looking at heading.
So you're still talking about then private funding, because even if it's your own kids, you're still funding it. You're just getting a tax credit in return. But
correct.
When now let's define it though. When you say universal school choice, What I've seen from voucher programs is a little bit different than that, where they put the money that was going toward the school district in kind of a fund for everybody. And then you, when you put your kids in that school, that money goes toward your kids. So that seems a little bit different than a tax credit, right?
Well, that does definitely take several different forms. And so in other states, they have used education savings accounts. And that's where the state basically says, right, so there's every child in the state now has an account. We're going to put the public funding into that account. And then that child, then that family can use those funds however they see fit. Yes. And that is an option. That is an option moving forward that we can do as well. But we have seen in other states where, I think in Florida, whenever they implemented it about a year ago, there was they had difficulty keeping up with the families that wanted to participate. There were so many families that wanted to participate that some of the vendors and other third parties that they used to implement these had difficulty keeping up with that and actually processing it and make sure all the children were able to participate. And so whenever we're looking at issues like that, because, a lot of these things are new. And so, there's a lot of testing and a lot of trial and error. And so whenever we're looking at things like that, Oklahoma just recently did very similar to what I had just mentioned, like allowing families to get a full tax credit directly from the state to offset their taxes for that. And what that does, though, in the state of Missouri, instead of relying on a third party vendor to do some of these accounts in the background, we already have the Department of Revenue. And everyone already files their taxes each and every year. And all you have is one more line on your tax form that says, was your child in a public school? Yes or no? If it was no, how much did you spend on education? You put in the amount. And then, there will be a formula in there that says, hey, based off of generally the state adequacy target, that's what the state funds public schools now per child. And then basically says, all right, well, if you spent this much, this is how much you're eligible for. And this is what you get reduced from your taxes. And so then that way we're not relying on other individuals, other companies, anyone else, the other state agencies to actually get it accomplished. It allows us to actually use a system that's already available. And we know that works. The government's really good at collecting your money. And so just making sure that, it's another method of kind of accomplishing the same idea and ensuring that every child still gets the education that best fits their needs. And at the same time, making sure that the system is working. And so we're not hitting some of those hiccups. One of the other bonuses that I really like with ideas like that is whenever you look at some of the tax credit items, you as the family and parent are making those decisions. You're choosing where to send them to school. You're choosing what type of curriculum. If you're homeschooling, you're going through all of those methods. And by doing it in that type of form, you have a lot less of the strings, the government strings, the requirements that often come with them. So if you look at the current scholarship program that we have right now, the ESA program that we have, there is a requirement that you get the annualized testing. Whenever you submit your application with one of the nonprofits, you have to tell them this is the type of curriculum and everything else I'm going to have and whatnot. There was the requirement for background checks for the homeschoolers, but that's been removed in 727, so that's another bonus. So they won't have to go through a background check to participate any longer. But at the same time, there's generally fewer strings involved with government. And that's the kind of the idea is how do we create more competition, get government out of the way, and allow families to pick and choose the best education for their kids.
Jeremy, we're almost out of time here, but anybody who's listening right now, maybe they just tuned in at the end, or maybe they missed what we were talking about in general. We're talking about school choice. Governor Parson has signed SB 727, expanding school choice. What is the big takeaway that you want a parent listening, right, or grandparent for that matter, that says, I hear about this, but how does it impact me? What is one big takeaway that they should know that has moved in the direction of school choice now that would apply to them?
Well, the way that it applies now, especially with removing the geographical boundaries and barriers that families were facing before, the way that it applies now is if you feel that the current education system that your child or the current education that your child is receiving, especially in public school system, is not where it needs to be, but you unfortunately, due to your circumstances, couldn't afford to put them into a private school or pull them out and homeschool them, there are now more options available to you. Does that mean that there's options available for everyone now? No, but there are more options now for more families, more parents, and those are available now. So if it's one of those things where you've been thinking about doing something else with your child, you think there's a better alternative, there are more options for you as a family to seek out that alternative now.
Jeremy Cady, thank you so much for your time, State Director, AFP Missouri. So if somebody wants to connect with you, they've heard this, and they have more questions about this, or really, I mean, you guys are involved in many other issues, but if they have questions about school choice and they want to contact you, where would you suggest they do that?
So our website is AmericansForProsperity.org, but you can also find us at AFP Missouri on Twitter and Facebook, and we have folks that man those social media accounts and can answer your questions, take calls, take any of those questions, make those answers. And we would love to even come out. And if you've got a group of folks that need more of an explainer as well, we will come out to you and walk you through the process and what next steps are as well.
Americans for Prosperity, Missouri. Jeremy, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
This is hour one of Wiggins America, which means that we still have another hour ahead. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.